This is Victory House.
All right, we've been talking about the laws of love on Wednesdays. On Sundays, I've been talking about what have you been talking about? Hello. Okay, love unleashed. Okay, we need to be taking a quiz, oh, amen, amen to Jesus, amen. Because sometimes we can come to church and just come to church, and then forget what we have learned. You are saying amen too. You know that. All right. So on Wednesday we are talking about love, the laws of love. And last week I started with the first love, that this first law that I wanted to talk on, that is our laws. And I said that it is the law of the people that came. Oh, Lord, please give me a mic. I need to take the mic around. Give me a mic. The law of what? The law of love. Oh, Lord. We need laying on of hands suddenly on some people here. The law, are you kidding me? Nobody remembers what I even said?
Last
Wednesday. Hmm? And it wasn't even the cold Wednesday. I would have said that the thing froze. The information froze. Huh? The law of what? Not even that people even wrote it down and can spy their notes. There's no record of it. Oh, Lord. Huh? Oh, Jesus. You know that, thank God that Jesus encourages his people. Because sometimes this kind of encouragement can be discouragement. You know? When you're asking, what did I teach? Just even the title, people cannot remember. And you're like, okay, Jesus, help me now. So last week I talked about the law of attention. Amen? Somebody would have said that. They wanted to say it, but they did not say it. And I said that, look, love that you can define in another way as affection can grow or functions based on attention. And I said last week that it is possible that a law, something that you don't really like, something that you don't love, something that you, because you give it attention, you will start developing affection for it. And vice versa, something that you love, if you give it less attention, your affection will start waning from that thing. And that's why some people, it seems that the more they don't come to church, the more they don't see the need for God. Because they are not giving that part of their life attention. Tonight, I want to talk about another law. I want to talk about another law. And I want to call it the law of dissatisfaction. The law of dissatisfaction. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 42 and verse 1. Psalm 42 and verse 1. Can we do NIV, please? So that we can do just the verse. Because the message will do paraphrase. It will do, yeah, thank you. The Bible says, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. Matthew 5:6, and then we will do Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Matthew 5:6. This one first says, Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. The Bible says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm going to ask a question. Why do you think David seemingly enjoyed a better lease of life than his predecessor Saul? David was the second king of Israel. Saul was the first king of Israel. Saul committed, God told Saul, gave Saul some instructions about how to go about a particular military campaign. And Saul did not follow the instructions. And then because of that singular event, or so it seemed, Saul lost the throne. Now David, the second king, he came to the throne, and David was not necessarily better. Many people think, oh, David was better. But, I mean, David had many, many other issues. I mean, there was a time David had an affair with a lady. And because to keep the affair secret or to just not let everybody know what's going on, especially the lady's wife, lady's husband, David kills the lady's husband. And he tricked, he organized the killing. It was a setup. And then the Bible said this in 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 14. 1 Samuel 13, 14. 1 Samuel 13, 14. I need you in the back, please. Let's make it a little snappy today. 1 Samuel 13, 14. It says, but now your kingdom will not endure. This is God talking to Saul. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. Now, God was telling Saul after he messed up on this instruction that God had given him that, look, I have found somebody that is going to replace you. And this, your replacement, is a man after my own heart. And this was the first time we had God using that word, man after my own heart. But even long after King David came and with all the trouble and the kind of atrocity David performed, in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, the Bible still says it long after David had died, that God said, I have found a man after my own heart. Talking about David. And God is still referring to David as a man after his own heart. So my question is this. Why is it that it seemed that David had a different deal than Saul had a different deal? Why is it that it seemed that David, you know, even with all that he did, God kind of forgave him and it looked like he didn't. I mean, I don't think God didn't forgive Saul, but it seems like Saul didn't have multiple chances like David had. I believe the major reason is what we found in Psalm 42 and verse 1. David said, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so my soul, 42:1, so my soul pants after you. Meaning that the secret to David's life or the power behind the love of David is hunger. It was hunger that made sure that David was always after God. So when David even made mistake, he still had hunger for God. David was hungry for God. Can I tell you something that wrecks relationship the most? It is when people become familiar. It is when people take themselves for granted. Many relationships, whether it's a boy-girl relationship, husband-wife relationship, sibling relationship, a father-children relationship, a children-father relationship, one of the things that hurts the relationship the most is that the people in the relationship, because of familiarity, take themselves for granted. Have you not noticed that many strangers think you are a nice person? Hello? People that don't know you, they will see that, say, sister, sister T, you are so, you are like an angel. And then your husband will hear, say, see deception. Angel, you need to come to my house. Why? And the truth is that the husband's perspective is not completely wrong. The sister that is calling Sister T angel, the person is not also wrong. Because Sister T, in dealing with this not so close person, is an angel. But to the husband, is he not my husband? Are we not married? And so because of familiarity, the relationship begins to suffer. So I put it to you tonight that one of the challenges that relationships have, even our relationship with God has, is that after a while, people become less hungry. People become less thirsty. Have you not noticed that when people first give their life to Christ, there's a difference? They come to church. They want to read the Bible. But after a while, they have heard everything in church. So when pastor is even preaching, they're like, okay. You know, they know the scripture. They know that verse. And so it doesn't capture them afresh again. It does not come to them like, oh, this is a new thing. It does not come to them. They don't have this awe around it. And one of my prayers for you in the name of Jesus is that God will renew the awe of him before you in Jesus' name. One of the worst things that can happen to anybody is to become used to God, is to become used to something that should captivate your heart again. Sometimes when you go to counseling rooms, the people that came to tell the counselor before they got married that we are so in love, they will now come to the same counselor and say, we don't love each other again. And you'll be wondering that what happened between when they said they were so in love and now that they are now saying that they don't love each other again. Many of the times, it is what I call lack of hunger. So if you look at the story of David and the story of Saul, the reason that God told Saul that, you know what, forget it, I'll find another person. It wasn't because of the action that you saw Saul performing. It wasn't because Saul just disobeyed. God knew that Saul had gone far. In fact, if you look at that encounter when Samuel was speaking to him, Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, you listened to God. But a time comes when you are so used to the things of God. There are so many of us, before we started serving in church, before we started doing things around church, there was a time when you come to church, you listen to the word of God. You hear what the pastor is saying. But now, the pastor is preaching. Is he not the word of God? We've been around church. What is he going to talk? Faith. It is something so far. Yes, it is something so far. You know everything. And that's the problem. That's the challenge. Because you have come to God as if I know everything. And there is something about hunger. There is something about thirst. The more thirsty you are, the more you will be filled. The more thirsty you are, the more you will be filled. You see, God is like the ocean. If you go to the ocean, what you take away from the ocean is not the capacity of the ocean, it's what you bring to the ocean. What you get from God is not what God has, it's what you bring to get from God. What you get from a service, what you get from church, what you get from the presence of God is not all there is, it's what you want to get from it. And many, many times, many of us come with little. If we even come with anything. Some people just come. I just come, you know, so that they will say I didn't come. They won't say I didn't come. Now I've come, and then I've just come. And then they go back, and the life continues as usual. But I'm praying that in the name of Jesus, God will renew your hunger. Amen. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. If there is anything that can happen to a Christian, for him to be fresh, is to stay hungry. Is to stay hungry. I remember, sometimes back in the day, I would just, if you get a tape of somebody, you will listen. I don't know, do people still listen again? Huh? Do people still listen again? Some of us, because I asked for what I spoke last week, some people didn't even remember. That means they don't even listen one again. And some people are listening again, till they listen and the tape wants to break. I remember when I gave my life to Christ. It was at a convention. I was going to turn 18. And I remember I was wearing this flowing agbada and all of that kind of thing. So, you know, I wanted to go and show off in the auditorium that this boy now is now a man. And then I had this message, the midnight cry. It was Pastor Adeboye that preached it. Oh, my word. I cried, number one. I gave my life to Christ, number two. But you know what happened? I bought that tape. And I listened to it so much that the first time I started preaching, you know, I've told you people that I used to preach in the bus back in the day, you know, because I'm a shy person, or I was a shy person. I've said I wouldn't be saying I'm shy because maybe when I come here, I'm not so shy, you know. So, but I will preach this message, the midnight cry. Even till now, I can still remember most of the message, most of the stories that he said in that message. Why? Because I listened to it over and over again. And I've been praying to God, I want to have those kind of perception. I want to have that kind of
orientation to you, God, and even to things around me. I know some of you, especially people that are married, before you got married, the way you were looking at your wife, the person that is now your wife, or the kind of aura that you experienced when you were there around them, some of the time it's probably different than what it is now. So what do you need to do? You need to do something that will make that hunger come back. And I'm praying for you that hunger will come back in Jesus' name. Because, sometimes after the first kid, second kid, you're just like, my wife, she's just my wife. She's not babe again. But God will renew things for you in the name of Jesus. So I want you to understand that God favors the hungry. God loves the thirsty. In fact, I believe God will rather that you are somebody that has not tasted something than for you to now taste and then become complacent. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible said there, and the summary of what the Bible was saying there is this: I don't like middle ground. I prefer that you are cold, you don't know Jesus, you don't know. Have you not seen the way God goes after people that don't know him at all? Look at Paul or Saul, the apostle. The Bible said God was going, you would have thought that guy, God would kill him. The guy had killed Stephen and he was going to kill more people and God was chasing him because God knew he's completely cold. But there was Ananias and Sapphira. God saw that these guys, they are not cold, they are not hot. These guys are going to mess up stuff. God took them out. What Ananias and Sapphira did, don't you think it's not as grievous as what Paul did? Paul killed a whole Stephen, the man that said, I saw the glory of God. And Paul said, you know what, you people want to kill him. Come and put your clothes at my feet. I will supervise this killing. And Paul made sure that they killed the guy. After they did that, he went to get higher authority and said, you know what? We are now going to make this a movement. Hashtag kill them all. And then he was going and he wanted to go and kill more people. And God said, look, Ananias and Sapphira, they lied in church and God took them out. But this guy killed a human being that was serving me, that was talking about me. And God said, I want that person. Why? Because God prefers a guy that is completely cold, or you are completely hot. He does not want you to stay in the middle ground. And the challenge is that today many of us are in the middle. We are neither there, we are not here. So that's why we are not experiencing the fullness of God. And if you must experience the fullness of God, if your world must change, you need to move from being in the middle to move to one side. And I believe by God's grace, you move to the hot side in the name of Jesus. I believe also that every relationship, whether your relationship to God, relationship with men, siblings, spouse and stuff like that, that every relationship eventually dies because what was once alive was taken for granted. Every relationship, that's what happens. What was once alive, they did not stoke the fire. There is no relationship, no matter how fiery it is today, that cannot die. There's no relationship. There are 24 years marriages that have ended up being divorced. There are 30-something year marriages that have ended up. There are 40-something. How can you wait for 40 years to find out that you and somebody, you are no longer in love? You are thinking, are you kidding me? You have stayed together for 40 years. How did you now come up and find out that, we can't stand ourselves again? Do you know what happened? They became cold. They became cold. The relationship became cold. So even with the things of God, there are people that have known God. There are people that have shared God before. I've heard stories of pastors that have filled stadiums, pastors that have led many people to Christ. And some of them now, they are drunkards. How do things get up to that place? I believe the way it gets up to that place is that you let the fire die little by little. The fire begins to die little by little. Look at what Jesus was telling the church in Revelations. Revelations chapter 2 and from verse 1. The Bible says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. 2. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. God was even saying that, look, I know that you still come to church. I know that if anybody sees you, they won't know what is going on inside. I see that you are still playing the part. It is possible to play the part. It is possible to play the motion. It is possible to be doing the activity. But see what's going on here. The Bible says you are still very hardworking. You are persevering. You are, you know, you still speak the Christianese. I know that you cannot even tolerate wicked people. You sign up with people that are anti anything that wants to destroy life. You want to vote for things that will uphold the word of God. You are vocal about it. You stand for the word of God. He says that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and I find them false. So you are very sound in the word of God. You know what the word of God says. You can quote it. And when people are trying to say something that the word of God is not saying, you say, no, that's not the word of God. You stand for the word of God, undiluted word of God. He says you have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Look at verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. I have a but. There is an issue here. You are forsaking the love you had at first. You are forsaking the love you have at first. And God is saying the same thing to many of us tonight. You are forsaking the love you have at first. You have been caught up with church. You have been caught up with activity. You are forsaking your love at first for God. And some of us, even in our homes, you are forsaking your first love, your love at first for your spouse. You are now on another type of love, but it's not the first one. It's not how things started. You need to go back to the basics. You need to go back to business. That's what verse 5 says. Verse 5. It says, consider how far you are falling. Repent and do the things you did at first. Repent and do the things you did at first. Oh, yes, we are now very sophisticated. It's now the days of iPad, the days of phones, the days when we now put our Bible in our front and then Instagram, you know, at the background of the Bible. And then every single thing that is happening in that same thing, you are talking with God. You want everybody to know about it. I don't have a problem with community studying of the word of God. Sometimes it's encouraging when you are studying the word of God and there's a community cheering you on and all of that kind of thing. But sometimes it's distracting. Sometimes it's just show off. You just want to show the placards and the banners and the, you know, the accolades and the labels. Oh, look, we're studying the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Or you're fasting. You just say, oh, Lord, the glory of God is here as we are waiting upon the Lord. This is my 35th day of waiting upon the Lord. Hallelujah. And so that people will say, oh, that's true, Sister Jean. I've noticed that you've been losing weight. Oh, you say, the Lord be praised. You have gotten your reward. So God is saying here, the first love is very important. The first love. Your children, your parents, the first love. Before things went south, before things got too busy, God is saying that, look, if you want love to increase, one of the laws that you must satisfy is the law of hunger, is the law of dissatisfaction. Don't get used. Don't get to a place where you think, oh, here I am. Me and my wife, now we have gotten to this place that we just understand ourselves. We have a rhythm. at the level we are now, no, there's nothing that can rock our boat. You are getting to that place where something can rock your world. Because once people start talking like that, when they get to that high, when they think that they don't need to work on things. I mean, I was listening to a man of God who is a marriage counselor, and he was talking about himself that he's working on his marriage. And he said, the young man looked at him and said, you are working on the marriage? I thought you loved each other. Say, how can you love yourself and be working on your marriage? Once you love yourself, won't love just make it happen? And the man smiled and said, that's the myth that many people have. And it's the same myth that a lot of people still have that myth today. That if I love this person, it will just work out. They don't understand that it will take work. It will take going back to the basics. It will take going back to some of the things you used to do in the beginning. It will take almost as if you have not gotten the wife. You have not gotten, you are not saved. Or you know, it will take you putting yourself back in that beginning state and not getting used to where you find yourself today. So God is calling you and I to obey this law of love, which is the law of dissatisfaction. Our prayer should be like what David was praying in Psalm 42 and verse 1. My soul is panting for God. I want more. I want more. With God, you can't just stay. You are either going forward or you are going backward. I mean, and that's how life is. That's how life is. There is nothing like we are just, our love is just where it has been. No. If it is where it has been, just like with any child that is at the class that he was last year, the guy is not stagnant. He has gone back. You know that, right? If somebody was in grade 2 last year and is still in grade 2 this year, it looks like stagnancy, but it's not stagnancy. It's retrogression. Because the people that were in stage 2 last year, they have gone forward. And that is some of the things that is happening to many of us. We are seemingly at the place we used to be, or we are at a particular stage, but we are not pulling forward. There's no hunger to go forward. And because there's no hunger to go forward, we are automatically going backwards. So what can you do? What can you do to increase your hunger? What can you do to stir up your appetite? As I close tonight, number one, pray for increased appetite. Ask God to increase your appetite. Ask God to trouble you. Ask God to disturb you. You know, there's a prayer that I don't know if I prayed it here before, but I it's a prayer that I love so much. I stumbled on it in the year 2011 or something like that, or maybe even before then. But at least I dug on my phone today when I recalled it. I saw that the date I had on it was 2011. And the prayer is simply this, and I'll read it to you. Disturb us, O Lord. It says, disturb us, O Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, because we sail too close to the shore. Disturb us, O Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we have lost our thirst for the water of life. When having fallen in love with time, we have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our effort to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of heaven to grow dim. Steer us, O Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture into wider seas, where storms show thy mastery, where losing sight of land, we will find the stars. I had the story once of some guys that were going to, I think they were going for a campaign, and a military campaign. And one of the things that the captain first did was that he burnt, I think it was the bridge or something like that, for them to go back. He burnt it. He said, because if there is a way to go back, people will retreat back. So burning that bridge or burning that instrument to make them go back will make them go forward. I pray that anything that is making you go back, God will burn it. Amen. I thought I would get a bigger amen. Because some of us are going back, and then therefore we are not really going forward. And I pray God will disturb you. He will disturb you in this season, in the name of Jesus. So the first thing to increase your appetite is to just ask God, Lord, I want more of you. Increase my thirst. Increase my desire. I don't just want to be too casual around you. I don't want to be too casual around people that I should be showing love. I want you to stir up the hunger, stir up the appetite, stir things up afresh. That's one of the prayers I've been praying for. In fact, my prayer, my 3 days prayer in this season of fasting personally, is just God. Change, do something back. I want to be like before we started pastoring, before we started doing it, before anybody knew anybody, when it was just me and you and just me in that closet, where sometimes I would lie down in the floor of that room, very small room that I would disturb the whole house. I want to go back to that time. Maybe I'm not going to disturb the whole house because if I do it, I will have to carry a baby, but I still want to go back to that time in a different way. And that's one of the things you can do to yourself. pray for increased appetite. Because the Bible says in Psalm 42 and verse 1, as the deer pants after the water brooks, when the appetite is increased, it will help you. It will help you to enjoy more of God. It will help you to enjoy more of your relationships. For your wife, pray for that. For your children, pray for that. Let me, Lord, increase my appetite to love this guy more. Increase my appetite to love my pastor more. Can somebody say amen to that? Yeah, because some of you, in the beginning days, you loved the pastor. It was just God sent. But now, this pastor, I don't even know if he's anointed. I don't know. The other day I was thinking to myself, why is it that guest ministers seemingly do better when they come to preach? Have you noticed that? It's like, that man is very anointed. I've even seen it, even Victory. Some people will come and preach for us. And then I'll see some of the church members. They will not come and talk to Pastor Hugh. They'll say, please, can I see the guest minister? Oh, can I see him now? I mean, go and talk to him. And then you go and talk to the guy. The guy will say, call your pastor. And I will come like, okay. No, I thought you were going to talk to him, but now it's two of us. No, don't be under pressure. If you are one of those kind of people. But you see, what usually happens is this. Because that person is new, because you are just meeting them afresh, there is some kind of more respect, so to say, more honor. So familiarity sometimes just brings contempt. So sometimes you need to pray, God, refresh me. Refresh me in this church so that I will be able to receive from you. The Bible said in Mark 6 and verse 5, it said Jesus could not do miracles in his hometown because people were too used to him. Even Jesus was limited by how people received him. I'm telling you, I've gone to preach in other places sometimes. I'm like, what's going on here? I mean, it's like the heavens just opened. Brr, because the people don't know me. Because the people just like, wow, anointed man of God. The other time I went to preach in one church in Lagos, maybe like almost three weeks later, they were still sending me this. I'm like, this is amazing. I want to be getting this in Victory House too. That one month later, people say, well, Pastor E, I'm still in the foreground of what you said the other day. And God is still doing miracles, yeah. And how will it happen? We need to be more hungry. Can somebody say amen to that? So pray for increased appetite or dissatisfaction. And then secondly, and the last thing I will say tonight, exercise to increase your appetite. Exercise to increase your appetite. Just like in the natural, the more you eat, sometimes if you eat too much and don't use what you have eaten, you'll be tired. But if you eat and exercise, you'll be more hungry. Or you use up the food that you have eaten, you'll be more hungry. Or you are a doer of what you have heard. Or you practice what you have heard. Hunger will come. The reason why some of us are not hungry, we have not done the last one. We have not done anything about it. You have heard it, but you didn't do anything about it. Sometimes when people come to church, they take notes. See, I like that you take notes. It's good. But what about action items? What about putting it on your calendar that this is what I'm going to do differently because I heard this? That's it. That's how you can do something with this love. That's how you can do something with increasing your appetite. When you hear a word like that, have an action item. What am I going to change? What am I going to do differently? Now that I've heard this word, what am I going to... Sometimes I'm listening to a message. Today I started listening to one podcast type thing. I saw that I needed to take an action and I paused this stuff and I'm like, look, I need to take action on this one that I've heard before I continue listening. But some people, you want to listen to everything and you finish listening to everything, you don't have an action item. You are not exercising based on your nutrition or your feeding. If you don't exercise, you will not be hungry. You will not be thirsty. There is something about exercise. The Bible says in James chapter 2 and verse 26, James chapter 2 and verse 26, it says, we should not be hearers only. He said, faith without works is dead. Just like the body without the spirit is lifeless. So faith without corresponding action will die. So if you want your appetite to grow, if you want your dissatisfaction level, if you want to be fresh all the time, one of the things you can do to yourself is take action. Do something about what you have heard. Practice these things. Don't just be used to it. Don't just be talking about it. Don't just have mental accent to it. Practice them. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Hebrews 5, 14. The Bible says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves. Or another translation says, who by exercise have trained themselves. They have built their muscle. Who by using it, who by using what they have heard, they are training themselves. So how do I love God the more? How do I increase my appetite for God? How do I make sure that I'm not in that place where I'm complacent with God? Whatever I've known of God as of today, I do something about it. What I had last, I do something about it. Some people are always wondering, why is it that it's like God is not speaking to me? God is not telling me something. The last one he told you, have you done anything about it? God is not careless like people think he is. No. No. There are some things God will not give to you when he knows that you are not serious with it. One of the look at when God was going to tell Moses about the Ten Commandments. He made sure he wrote it down. Why did God not say, Moses, I know you are a smart guy. Sometime later on, you are going to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You don't need to write it down. God said, no. Ten Commandments, God wanted it to be written down. God, and when the first set broke, God gave him another one. Why? Because there is something about taking God serious. There is something about taking action based on what you have received that precipitates or positions you for getting more from God. So I pull it to you tonight that one of the laws of love is the law of dissatisfaction. In your personal relationships, your relationship with your children, your relationship with God, you know, your relationship with your spouse is dissatisfaction. Don't ever be too comfortable where you are. Be grateful to God where you are, but know that there is a better place. Know that this relationship can get better. If you get to a place where you think, are you kidding me? This is hidden. This is heaven on earth. There's nothing better that can happen to this marriage. This is it. If you, once you get to that point, you have started going backwards. Same with your relationship with God. Oh, look at where I am now. I can fast 7 days. I can fast 21 days. It's very easy for me to pray. I mean, I can just stand here, and before I open my eyes, I've prayed for 3 hours. Once you start getting to those kind of places, very soon you'll find that to pray 30 minutes will be a big deal because you have started taking that position for granted. No. Be hungry for more. I want to pray 6 hours. I want to pray 24 hours. I want to pray 36 hours. There are people that have done that, and it's not impossible for you to do that. I'm praying for you tonight that God would disturb you. I say God would disturb you, and it will increase your appetite as you do the last things that he has told you in the name of Jesus. Will you bow down your heads this evening and speak to God? This world will be a better place if the love of God can flow through our lives. And one of the things that can help that love to flow is for hunger for the love to even be there in the first place. Hunger for more. Bible says in Matthew 5 and 6, it says, blessed are they that thirst after righteousness, or after God's way of doing things, or after God's position to issues. Blessed are they that have that kind of craving. He said they will be satisfied. I want you to ask that God increase my appetite.